You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard bash. Oh, happy Halloween, Art Factora. How are you doing, sir?
I'm feeling very spooky tonight.
Are you feeling spooky? Now, are you feeling spooky because you're still kind of jet-lagged from your trip to Montreal?
Absolutely. It is. It was a great time. Time had by all.
Is that not a spectacular city?
We got to spend... our hotel was in Old Montreal, and the first night we got
Where'd
in...
Where'd you stay?
It was called Le Petit Hotel.
Le Petit.
Or Le Petit Hotel.
You know what that means?
The small hotel?
I believe so.
Okay. Yes. Well, I guess 12 years of French for me.
Turned out very well. Good stuff.
It felt what Yale Town and what Gastown is trying to do, but not as successfully.
Yeah.
Just everything, all the history and the architecture has all been kept in place. And one of our tour people told us that if you want to buy a building in the area, you can, but you cannot touch the outside, other than just making it look prettier. Everything has to stay the same, and they renovate the outside, inside, and don't touch the outside.
Oh, okay. So they're all heritage buildings. The whole community is heritage.
The whole area around that we're staying in, it was just smoked meat sandwiches and poutine left and right.
So did you have the best poutine of your life?
The sandwich was more. I put a picture on my Instagram. I was more impressed with the sandwich and the poutine.
Bigger than your head?
It was gigantic, yes.
The amount of Montreal
I had to unhinge
meat?
My jaw to, now, to bite it.
And did you eat the whole thing?
Of course I did. I had to.
Because you're looking kind of portly.
Well, I didn't eat for the rest of the day after. I literally had a salad for dinner.
And then you got like the pickle and a little bit of coleslaw, and that was it on the side right there. Or you must have the French fries with it. When you have that big a sandwich, they give you the French fries too.
I thought I had the poutine with it.
Oh, you had the poutine. Oh, you went for that.
But it was for lunch.
I try and separate. I try and have poutine, and then I try and have the smoke. I don't try and do them both at the same time.
I did. It was the perfect storm.
It was. Where did you do that at?
What? It was a great little restaurant called Rubens right downtown.
Okay. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we missed the stop towards Schwartz's, and the tour guy said if we wanted to go to Schwartz, we had to jump on the subway and then go a couple blocks left and right. We would have gotten lost, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, yeah, and there's so many good ones there. I think we ate at Celine Dion's place last time I was there.
Oh.
Yeah.
And?
Well, she wasn't there.
Ironically, after eating those sandwiches, sometimes your heart doesn't go on. Yes!
I think that is higher. Now, and you also went to see Les Canadiens. Les Amateurs.
We went to a game, too. We saw the Sharks last Saturday.
Oh, and they beat the Canadiens. So
that was, yeah, they were not a happy group.
And are they worse than Vancouver fans when they lose?
You know what? It was surprising. They are very reserved as hockey fans. There was a guy sitting a couple of rows behind us. He was cheering and heckling the other team and telling, you know, he's like, come on, Subban! You know, skate, skate, skate! And the people in front of us were turning around and like laughing at the guy as if he was a crazy man. Mm. Whereas every section in Rogers Arena has
crazy man.
Three or four guys who are yelling and screaming.
Well, I disagree. I think every public section. I think when you get into that private box area, not the private box area, but the club section, there's not so many crazies.
Yeah, well, we were down in section, the 100 section on the lower bowl. Like we were sitting with the commoners. We weren't in the,
and
in
how
the
many,
boxes.
And how many shows did you guys record?
Two.
Two shows.
Yeah.
So you went all the way to Montreal for two shows. And they air.
I'm not complaining.
Tonight? After? Before? They just aired.
They
first
just
one
aired.
Just aired. Got
That's
it.
Correct.
I should have been listening, but I was prepping. I was hard in prep and eating candy. I'm in a candy coma because of.
Your eyes are a bit glazed over.
Well, that's easy enough to happen on Halloween. Well, I was on the road too.
Where'd you go?
Nanaimo.
Not as French? Oh, yeah.
Nanaimo.
Did you at least visit the French Quarter of Nanaimo?
Is there a French Quarter in Nanaimo?
I'm not sure.
No, I don't believe there is. No, I was over there speaking for the social media camp, guys.
In English?
Part of our tour.
In English?
I was speaking in, well, mostly. I was speaking in YouTubese.
Oh, okay.
I spoke all about YouTube. We had a We had a good visit over there, and this time I managed not to stick my foot in my mouth as I did in the previous talk that I did for these folks. So that was good. So you know the odd time you make a little slip up, and I did that a couple of weeks ago. So.
And you pay your penance.
Yes, you do. You do your mea culpas on Twitter and then move on. But no, yesterday it was a good trip over to Nanaimo. I always like Nanaimo. It's a great town.
It's always fun to take that ferry across.
Yeah, you know, it reminds, especially since I go from Tawasin, so it's the mid-island, and it's like one of the old ferries from, like, that was built before I was born in, like, 1956 or something. And I remember that from being a kid, you know, and they haven't changed it that much.
Is that wood-powered? How old is that ship?
It's a sail. It's got a sail.
Okay.
You know, it opened up the whole world, the sail did. So, I think we should talk about what's on the show today.
More than the internet will ever.
Yeah. So today coming up, we've got, we're going to be talking about, we're going to kick things off by talking about social media in our community. Because increasingly I see, it kind of came out as a result of being in small towns lately, talking about social media and technology, and seeing how when I was speaking in Nanaimo, I was talking about YouTube on social media. And I looked at the audience and I said, how many of you are here because you're really excited about learning about social media? And a few of them put up their hands. I said, how many of you are here because you have to be? And almost everybody put up their hands. I said, you're afraid of social media, aren't you? You don't know what it's doing to you, and you're trying to get a handle on it. And there was all these big eyes open. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, because we just don't get it. And social media does fit in the community. So I've got two real good, solid experts.
Every city has a Facebook page and a Twitter account.
They've got them, but people have to learn what level of engagement. They have to learn how the conversation happens.
That's true.
So we got Vicky McLeod and we got Sean Smith joining us in just a few moments to talk about that. And then Isaac Kendall, our now the reigning app. I'm going to call it App Wednesday. Even though we're on Thursdays, I'm just going to call it App Wednesday from now on.
He's giggling.
Well, he actually has been. He phones me like every couple of days and says, I'm still a champ, aren't I? And he's still a champ. But we'll see what happens next time, because he's got Beeler upset. Beeler lost twice in a row now because Bullwit was bad enough, but he took some credit for Bullwit's victory. Kendall just beat him straight up.
But do you think Isaac's kids are bragging to their friends that their dad won an App Wednesday because of a pee app? Probably not. I'm guessing no.
He had T-shirts made.
Oh, really?
They don't have to brag.
Christmas sweater is going to look like?
It's in the Christmas card picture. They're wearing the T-shirts on the
My
Christmas
dad, card. The App Wednesday winner.
App Wednesday champ. Yeah. Yeah, and then, so we're going to be talking about BBM, because BBM is out. Did you download it for your iPhone yet?
I've downloaded it, but I haven't connected it yet.
I don't know if people are going to use it. I don't know. But they've millions and millions. But Isaac
10 million
us,
on the first day, they said.
I know. They're up to all over 20 million. But Isaac will tell us whether or not it's going to be a keeper or not. And of course, we have Julian Saunders on. We're going to talk about Windows 8.1. Yes, they've brought back the start button. Woohoo! So you're going to want to stick around. We'll be talking community social media when Dottotech returns in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you.
Let's talk community a little bit. Let's talk about how social media fits in community, because we think of social media as this huge tool that reaches all around the world and reaches all these faceless people. But it's also a pretty powerful tool if you put a face on it. And here's joining me are two guests that definitely put a face on social media. I have Sean Smith from Campbell River. How are you doing, Sean?
Great.
Now, Sean Smith is a social media consultant in Campbell River, very engaged there. And I'm glad to have him on the phone, because he's a former military and he used to teach like hand-to-hand combat or something, didn't you? You're like uber dangerous.
Yeah, that's why I say in my presentations that, you know, I was a former combat instructor, so anybody has a problem with my presentation can see me after class.
That probably keeps the criticism low. And dangerous from a whole different perspective, Vicky McLeod, who is a business coach and social media consultant in Maple Ridge. How are you, Vicky?
I'm just great, Steve. And I have to say my approach is a little bit different than Sean's.
Yeah, but I think you're just as dangerous in a different way.
Yeah, in a different way.
In a different way. I wanted to bring you guys on because I wanted to have a conversation about how social media engages around the block. So many of us are always pursuing kind of, you know, a massive number of followers on Twitter or on YouTube or in LinkedIn, and we're trying to connect, you know, kind of across the country and around the world. But social media in the community can be so vibrant as well. But it really has, it's kind of a softer, gentler type of social media, isn't it, Vicky?
I would agree, Steve. I mean, I think one of two of the key things about social media that make it a natural tool for community engagement are that it's naturally democratic. So anyone can join in any conversation basically at any time. And it's also naturally collaborative. So you already have people together in that space, you know, that online space, whether you're on a Facebook group or page or whether you're in the Twitter sphere. So you've already created a collaborative environment. So there's a way that it's a natural tool.
Now, do people feel that it is, like you do a lot with local business and local community, do you get a sense that some people resist it because they feel it's too impersonal and they think it's kind of almost anti-community?
I think both. I think people resist it because they think it's both too impersonal and too personal at the same time, especially, and that has to do with their demographic. So it depends on where they are in their own stage of life, because many of us were brought up to be very private and in business to keep our business cards very close to our vests. And so it's partly shifting that mindset around in business to this new collaborative and democratic way of communicating with potential customers or clients. Or in this case, what we're trying to do in Maple Ridge is to really build a collaborative community around business success that sort of reaches across businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about marketing your business, but rather how can we market the entire community as a great place to do business.
And Maple Ridge is one community, but it's a bedroom community of Vancouver. I mean, it's got a lot of local business for sure. But a whole different story would be a community like Campbell River, where Sean lives, which is far more industry-based or resource-based, probably more retirees out in that area. How does your community embrace it, Sean?
Well, I mean, like you said, we're very much an industrial-based, resource-based community, and it's only because of recent events in the last 5 years that the community's had to take a look at some very different ways to get itself out there in the public, and technology is playing a very big part in that, but there is still it's not necessarily a fear of things like social media, it's just a really strong lack of understanding of how technology in general works. They're coming along very nicely, and it is starting to make a difference, and we're seeing a lot of growth in the social media community, mainly because people are finally starting to understand that this platform gives everybody a voice versus just a select few the way it used to go.
Which is exactly what Vicky was saying. Now, do you have really great buy-in from all levels that you need in your community in Campbell River? Is there buy-in from the municipality, from the region, and from the like the Chamber of Commerce and the industry base?
Just starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The city is starting to utilize Facebook a little bit more, as is the Chamber of Commerce. The economic development arm is only just now. Literally just now starting to develop a social media strategy. But the business community as a whole has been jumping in pretty much whole hog with fits and starts and certain trip ups here and mm-hmm. there, but they're starting to get it now.
Now, Vicky, in your community, though, you guys have had some, for how many years? It's been very strong because there's been some really nicely placed people within the city that have been championing it. And it seems to me Maple Ridge is a very cyber-friendly community.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, I think there's always this issue of capacity and what do people know about it and how comfortable are they using the tools. One thing I want to be really respectful of always is that levels of government, of course, have to meet sort of statutory rigors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have statutory constraints around the way that they can communicate and what is official or formal versus what is informal. I took it upon myself with a couple of my colleagues, we call ourselves the social chicks, to really try to work with the community to build that capacity and comfort level, while at the same time understanding the constraints that they operate under. So what is appropriate for government to be communicating about? In what ways can they really engage? Where do they need to look to other tools for engagement and consultation so that they meet those formal rigors? But what I'm seeing is that we do have certainly Maple Ridge, Pitt Meadows, Mission, the whole sort of North Fraser region has really stepped up to want to understand and learn. And then to connect, because I love what Sean's saying about, you know, business will lead the way typically.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you connect with those people that are already leading? And again, social media itself is a natural for building those kinds of connections and connecting with the influencers who can really step up and make things happen. So, I mean, I'm delighted with the way it's going in the community. I think there's still more growth needed among those who see social media more so in terms of that multi-level engagement as an opportunity for politicking or creating agenda-based platforms.
Well, once we start moving out of the conversation around business and we start talking about consensus building within the community, there's a whole different dialogue. But I just wanted to go back to what you were saying a little bit earlier, which I think there's one key, is you were talking about how you're trying to find the proper thresholds and what was appropriate forms of communication and conversation for officials to be having within social media. It sounds to me, though, like they're trying to discover what their voice is, as opposed to just pulling back, as happens in so many communities, where the municipalities or the city or the elected government says, okay, you know, it's better for us not to engage than engage and make a mistake. It sounds to me like in the forward-looking communities, they're willing to make the odd mistake to figure it out, to find out what their voice should be.
Exactly. It's being willing to kind of step out of that comfort zone into a model that is conversational and collaborative versus that one-way broadcast communication that is more typically what we've seen over the years, or in traditional marketing and communications, particularly at the government level.
So what excites you, Sean? What excites you about what's happening locally in your community, social media-wise?
Well, oddly enough, the mayor. The mayor is very active on Facebook and very vocal on Facebook, quite often to the consternation of the council. But he is abundantly engaged with people in the community. His posts are commented on frequently, but he's doing it as himself, not necessarily as the mayor.
Isn't that great when we see that? I mean, I think nationally we saw such a great example of that in Calgary with the trials that they had several months ago, with how engaged, and we got a feel for their mayor, who was very, very social media savvy.
Yeah,
and it was so refreshing.
Yeah, Mayor Nenshi's been on the social media sphere from the very beginning. And I think that the floods in Calgary really brought that familiarity with the platform to a national stage, and it's played an influential part in how some of these municipalities and senior levels of government are starting to engage with the communities.
Is that something you think that is coached into them, or do you think that they naturally have that sense of communication?
It's a natural thing. Nenshi comes from an educational background where he's used to speaking to a pretty specific demographic and utilizing those tools to engage with those college students.
Yeah.
So he leveraged that into a political campaign. So he really hasn't changed his methodology. Whereas our mayor got onto Facebook when he started to campaign for the election. And then suddenly realize that the communication potential of being able to stay engaged with the people who live in the community was epidemic.
Has he made mistakes and then overcome them quite easily, or have they cost him?
Because he is an abundantly forthright and forward type of guy, if he screws up, he's the first person to say, "I screwed up." And he's willing to put that out on the table, where a lot of politicians simply aren't willing to rock that boat.
Got that, yeah.
And it's great to see. Unfortunately, the city communication side isn't quite there yet. They've actually said, we only talk about what the city is doing itself, the city hall, the city organizations. We don't talk about anything else. And that's really just kind of the wrong approach when you literally are the face of an entire community. Mm-hmm. Being able to,
I think that there's an area here where I might I would want to advise in this regard just a little bit of caution around that, because of the statutory constraints that cities and provincial governments and federal governments find themselves under in terms of what they're obligated to communicate, what they can and what they can't in terms of official position versus, I mean, I always find this a really interesting gray area, and it's actually an area I love to get in and work with people around, because it is really getting clear, are you the voice of your organization? What is the organizational voice? What is your voice? Mm. I love the distinction that you're making, Sean, between the mayor as person versus the mayor as elected voice of the city, what he can and can't say personally or say in terms of what would be the city's official position versus his personal position.
Yeah, and this is where some of the fight has come from. He makes it very clear that he doesn't discuss anything that's done in camera, for instance.
Yeah.
He doesn't call down any of the staff or the council members, in any disparaging sort of way. And in an official capacity, if he's representing himself as the mayor, then he represents the interests of the council. On a personal level, within his personal channels, he speaks his mind.
Mm.
And as a Canadian citizen, you have every opportunity to do that. Within the city's environment, I think the one thing that's kind of missing is there's so much that's happening in this town right now. We're literally in one of the biggest building booms we've had in 40 years. We're seeing growth like we've never seen it before, yet the city is focused on only their projects. And there seems to be that little piece where they could be engaged about what this project is doing and what that project's doing, and even telling the story of how that project came to be within the community, and really engage more of the people out there to ask questions. They're starting to get there. They're starting to kind of understand that aspect of it. But it's still a pretty gray area for them.
Before we wrap up, Vicky, let's jump back to Maple Ridge for a second. And you guys have a fairly interesting kind of collaborative event coming up between all of the different aspects there, don't you?
Is this Business Start?
Yes.
Yeah, we just launched Business Start, in fact, last week, because it was Small Business Week. It's actually Small Business Month, but there's one week that we like to focus on. This is mainly being driven via economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of, I don't want to call it department, because in our region we have all different models of economic development, but the three communities in the North Fraser region have collaborated under the umbrella of Invest North Fraser to put together a program to help new businesses get started. And it is obviously called Business Start. But it's been a really great opportunity to kind of test our wings using social media as one of the promotional vehicles. I want to really emphasize it's one part of that mix. I really always want to caution that we don't marginalize the unconnected. You know, there are still people out there who aren't wired up.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but true.
Okay.
So I always,
what do they look like so I can identify them on the street and avoid them?
Well, a lot of them look
like
my mom.
Who won't have their heads down in their hands.
Yeah, but it's been a really, a great way to kind of reach out and get a lot of different partners engaged. And that's something even, as I'm listening to Sean, I'm reflecting on, I think what we've done really well here, and our city has taken a leadership role in that as well, is that we've asked our community groups and organizations all across the board to cross-promote each other, those that are active and that have capacity in social media, to use it as a way of sort of sharing the love and connecting with other community groups and organizations. And I think we're starting to see the payoff for that. It requires some education, it required us to actually get out there kind of in the trenches with these groups and work with them. And sometimes I've done that as a consultant, and sometimes I do that pro bono as just part of community building and my offering to the community, as well as working with other people who are also influential to do that. But it's been a great way of starting to get those that are a little bit more reluctant, more engaged when they see the success that others are having with it.
Yeah, we're all cajoling them along. Now, both of my guests today have active Twitter feeds, active Facebook presences, and so if you're interested in hearing more of what they have to say, I encourage you to find them online. Sean, we find you at?
My Twitter handle is Sean Smith CR, and my Facebook page is just search That Social Media Guy. That Social Media Guy.
And Vicky?
I'm at Vicky_McLeod on Twitter, and I can be found at Vicky McLeod Coach and Consultant on Facebook.
Thanks so much, both of you, and I look forward to getting a chance to visit both of your communities sometime in the future.
Absolutely. Would look forward to having you, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, it's been thanks, great. Sean. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Vicky. We're going to take a quick break, and I see Sir Isaac Kendall sitting in the green room waiting to come on. We'll be chatting with Isaac as soon as Dottotech returns.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you.
So was it earlier this week that BlackBerry released BBM for iOS and Android? It was just a
last
few days. It was last week. And over 20 million downloads have happened as a result. So I thought we'd chat about that and some other things. And Isaac Kendall was available, and he's also been playing with it. So, Isaac, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Steve.
Are you enjoying your celebrity as the champion of App Wednesday?
I am recognized everywhere now.
Are you?
They're like, hey, you're the P guy.
Well, for people that don't know, the app which won this week, which, by the way, I think for the December show, Art, we only have one more to go. In December, it has to be the best of. So we look at all of the winning apps, and we choose the app of the year.
Are we picking the winning apps or the apps that should have won?
We can have. I think since I'm doing this arbitrarily, and as usual with App Wednesday, it's rules according to what Steve's whim is.
All right.
It's going to be all of the winning apps plus other ones that I think should be there.
Wow.
But you can recommend.
Of course I can.
So you still want the water app. You're still upset about the water thing,
if it's
aren't
a
you?
Best of, I've got access to cut and paste whatever.
No, not other people's apps. You've got to use your own apps.
I'm just saying that I can make it sound like I've won for the past year.
The other thing I'm thinking about doing is in the new year, we're going to change the rules for App Wednesday, which is now on Thursday, is we are going to make it even more complicated. I'm not going to determine the winner anymore. We're gonna choose the four finalists, the final apps from each show.
Yep.
And then we're gonna create a poll.
Online. Oh, and so when somebody like Miss 604 comes and puts it on her Facebook page, that
she
has
might get
50,
a lot of
000.
Votes. But that way we can reward a listener with a prize as well as the winner of App Wednesday. So we can increase the number of giveaways that we give. As a result. And you can lobby for it then. You can start to lobby for it. It can become, as all things should be, a popularity contest. Because right now it's just, do you think, isn't that more fair than, wouldn't you rather have that than just me pick?
Well, at least with you picking, I know that I have a slight chance of winning.
Because I've been really fair, if you think about it.
Well, it's because you know that the people who could fill in for me would do a horrible job. you throw me a bone so I don't leave.
That must be it. It must be it. Isaac. The reason that I invited you on is you sent me a text the other day and you said, have you signed up for BBM yet? And I went, oh, no, I haven't. And then I went and looked at it and saw that 20 million of my fellow nerds had, and I hadn't. So you jumped on the BBM bandwagon right away. So let's back up the bus a little bit. BBM is BlackBerry's messenger service, which was such an intrinsic part of the BlackBerry experience for all those years.
Yes, exactly. And it had that beloved DNR telling you when the message has been delivered and read.
Yes.
So you can tell if people are ignoring you.
And they can see it, yeah.
And it helps develop complexes.
but it was instant. Mm-hmm. It was free.
Well, it was part of your data plan.
It was part of your data plan, but it didn't cost you. There was no SMS charges.
Correct.
No texts that you could send. And people lived in BBM. I lived in BBM. When my son went to university, he had a BlackBerry, I had a BlackBerry. We just talk back and forth conversationally all the time.
Yes. And those of us that started off using BlackBerrys, we have warm, fuzzy feelings for BlackBerry Messenger. And now that many of us moved on to other platforms, now that we have BBM, it's kind of like you have that moment where you get that smell and it takes you back to grandma's house. It's just like that warm feeling of your roots.
So BlackBerry decided to release it into the wild a couple of weeks ago, probably as a result, or a week and a half ago, probably as a result of their disastrous performance in the marketplace with their hardware recently. But interestingly, one of the plans for BlackBerry for their recovery was to take BBM, put it out in the wild, and then try and turn it into the de facto standard and compete directly with SMS. And do you get a sense for that's what BlackBerry's trying to do with this now?
Yes. I'm still unsure how this is going to save BlackBerry.
Yeah.
They've put, BBM out on Android and iOS, and it's free, so it's not making any money for BlackBerry. It's not going to make me look at this and go, wow, BBM, that's right, I love it. I should give up my Android phone and go buy a BlackBerry again because it's just that awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is better than SMS because you don't have those charges that if you text message somebody outside of Canada or internationally, you get dinged additional charges by your carriers. So in that respect, it's much better than SMS. The downside to it is not everybody has it.
Mm-hmm.
And, when we look at when people started migrating off of BlackBerry's after the iPhone was handed down off Mount Sinai there by Steve Jobs, we started seeing bleeding in the world of BlackBerry, and people found alternative methods of messaging, and one of the king is WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as impressive as BlackBerry's 20 million downloads, WhatsApp has 350 million.
And so WhatsApp is a unified messaging service that allows
cross-platform,
that allows you to text using Apple's messaging service if you're on an iPhone, or just the messaging service on Windows or on Android,
right,
and be able to talk back and forth without using SMS.
Right. So you still avoid those costs of international SMS.
Yeah.
Myself, I'm still secretly hoping that we all get the memo and all move to Google Talk.
Okay.
Honestly, Google's messaging is the best, mm-hmm, because it works on a Windows phone, an iPhone, a BlackBerry, Android, a Windows computer, a Mac computer, a Linux computer. I can start a conversation on my phone and pick up right where I left off on my computer and see the same conversation thread. But it does not have some of the, you know, neat features that BlackBerry is trying to promote with their BBM, with the D and the R, telling you that, confirming the message has been delivered to their device and that the message has been read by
the
device.
And I wonder what group that is important to. I mean, it's important to us in the BlackBerry that came from the BlackBerry, because we always looked to see whether or not that message had been received or not. But most of the rest of the world has never had that benefit.
No. Mm. No. And, you know, BlackBerry never, even in its heyday, never crossed the 70 million threshold.
Mm.
You know, Google activates 1.5 million phones a day. Apple's doing, you know, 10, 11 million phones every 3 months. Like, the numbers are staggering.
And do you think that, I mean, WhatsApp has been successful. Do you think most people just live and stay in SMS and don't even worry about it, or just use whatever messaging service is kind of native to their phone and just kind of stay with that?
Well, I know a lot of Apple people like to stay within the iMessage world, and if yeah, you're not on iMessage, you're not really, you're kind of dead to them.
Yes.
But WhatsApp is really, I mean, 350 million is, that's a significant number.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You know, BlackBerry had 10 million in the first 24 hours. You know, we should go back about a month ago when they actually tried to launch BBM the first time, and they would stagger it across the globe based on your time zone. And I think by the time Australia got loaded on, they had crashed the servers. And they realized that they weren't ready for for like the big kids pool yet.
Weren't ready for big time.
No.
Prime time. Now it's interesting. I posted a couple of queries on Twitter and Facebook about BBM and to see if anybody had embraced it and was using it. And a lot of people are like Art and me. We've downloaded it. We have one friend on it at this point, type thing. But the comments I was getting from people like Brooks Duncan, who does the paperless office stuff for us, he said that he downloaded it, likes it, got his wife on it. But she keeps forgetting and going back to WhatsApp. So she just doesn't remember to use it now.
I mean, we're kind of in a waiting game right now to see what are the active users in January once the three-month honeymoon is worn off.
Well, I think anybody who has somebody in their circle that's still on a BlackBerry, if you've got one important friend, one mm-hmm, linchpin friend that's still on BlackBerry, I think that those groups might be able to migrate over to it. One very verbose person,
sure,
in
yeah,
BlackBerry.
Yeah.
But you know, so many people now are living in the same ecosystem. You know, within a family, you'll have everybody on an iPhone, or you'll have everybody on Android phones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, so at that point, it's going to take it's probably not going to be the direction they choose to download this new app and figure it out. They're probably just going to stay in whatever's working for them. I mean, Samsung has their own native app, you know, their own native chat. You know, if you're living in the Samsung ecosystem now.
I'm not even convinced that BlackBerry needs to win. I think that there's room on all of our phones for more than one platform. Like, I've got some friends who just prefer to chat in Facebook's Messenger.
Yes.
Right? I have some friends that just live on SMS.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that love to iMessage, and I'm sort of left out of that party.
I find it confusing if messages are coming to me too many ways. How many do you run with Art? You just have the one?
I'm a text guy, and then if it's longer, Facebook. I'll get guys who message me on, and we just, yeah, because it's so instant. And the best part about the Facebook chatting is that it'll show up on your phone as the sort of quick, like, you know, just
instant message, the instant chat. Yeah.
Essentially, is, yeah. So is. You don't have to turn it on, like if you're if you have.
Well, this
to
is the benefit. Line. This is the benefit that I, you know, Isaac's talking about with Google Chat. And when I stop and think about who's going to win this thing, and who's, you know, if I had to pick one to just put on right now, and if I could make everybody work with me with one, Google would probably be the one I would go for too, because I've noticed that I've started to use it more and more. Mind you, I use Gmail as my main email client, so it's always kind of there, and I'm getting I actually used to have a lot of friends, business friends, colleagues, text me constantly in Skype because I've always got Skype open, and that's my preferred voice communication tool on when I'm, you know, at work. And so, and Isaac, you and I chat back and forth a lot by Skype, but I'm seeing a lot more people now starting to talk to me in Google Chat. And to be honest, I don't pay much attention, just wherever the Bink appears. That's one of the things, is searching for what window Binked on your computer when a message is coming in. Who's talking to me? Are they in Google? Are they in Facebook? Are they in Skype? Because there's lots of different places they can come in. But I think you're right, because Google Chat also has Google Talk built in, so you can do the voice communications. So it's going to compete head-to-head with Skype from that perspective.
Well, the Google Voice actually allows you to make a phone call to an actual phone.
Which
as
you have
well.
To pay extra for no, Skype to do.
Yeah, you have to pay for that, right? Whereas Google gives you that for free.
Yeah.
If you live in the United States, then you have the ability to get a customized incoming number. Or if you're somebody like me that has lots of spare time on his hands at night, you can fool the system to create a number for yourself. But right now, the Google Talk is just an outgoing free phone call service. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to phone you, they would have to actually phone your regular phone.
Okay.
But Facebook is also trying to become that one communication service to rule them all. Like, we've all been given at Facebook.com email addresses.
Yes.
They want to be
your... Does anybody use that?
A lot of people do.
Really?
You know, I was... talking to a blogger from The Verge a while back, and he'd been away at a family wedding, and his new brother-in-law, who was like 16, and the guy from The Verge says, "Oh, what's your email address?" He's like, "I don't know, Facebook."
Oh, really?
So young people use a lot of Facebook, and Facebook allows you to do that instant chat. If you send an email to your Facebook email address, it's frighteningly fast.
Okay.
Like, it's really scary how fast that email is.
I've never sent one to it.
If you, on the iPhone and on your Android phone, if you go into the Facebook chat app, you can actually make a free phone call through that over Wi-Fi or 3G. And I've talked to Paul DeMera about it, who's been on the show a few times as well. And it's the voice quality we found actually on 3G was better than Skype.
Mm.
And it's totally free. Like, Facebook wants you all in all the time at Facebook. Much that's the same way that Google's doing that.
Everybody's trying to get it. Everybody's trying to get our traffic on chat. What's the payoff for them? That's the question.
Well,
what's the payoff?
Well, on the BlackBerry side, if you have an actual BlackBerry device, like I've got the BlackBerry Q10 here, with the native BBM app, if you're communicating with other BlackBerry users, they have BBM voice and BBM video.
Yeah.
So you can make phone calls and video calls
over
Wi-Fi or 3G, not paying international long distance and whatnot. But that's not available yet on the iOS and the Android.
No. What's the pay? My
but there's
question
talk
is
of them charging for that on the Android. And
oh, okay.
That's where I was going with the payoff. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
If they can get people to buy in to BBM, like have, you know, on Android and iOS users go all in on that, then they can go, hey, you know, for $2 a month, you can have this. Or even even at $1 a month, that's $20 million extra dollars in the BlackBerry coffers.
Yeah. See, when I look at them, I think Google doesn't care. They just want you using their stuff.
And the more you use the internet, the more money Google makes.
So they're not so concerned. Facebook, they want to make money off everything they do. So Facebook is going to be trying to figure out how to monetize this Facebook chat stuff.
Oh, I totally see a day when, you know, I'll initiate a video chat to you, and they'll get a message that says, you know, this call is brought to you by Nabisco.
Oh.
Right? I mean, it's silly, but it's almost probably true.
Yeah, it'll be more focused than Nabisco because it's Facebook. They'll know exactly what it's going. This is brought to you by the fact that you need a new shoestring because we heard yours just broke. So here it is.
Exactly.
Bob's shoestrings.
They do have the ability to, like, even like your Google ads are getting frighteningly relevant.
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, the relevance of that's I love that concept. I love targeted advertising. I'm not the a privacy a privacy person. That's
no, I mean ads aren't going away. That's the way the internet's going to.
And
pay
I'd rather
itself.
Have something relevant.
Absolutely.
Advertised. And I'm always wondering how did they? Why are they sending this ad to me now? What did I go to? What did I type into search? What did I like? That's causing me to get this particular. Sometimes it's very self-evident. I mean, my phishing ads, you know, for fishing resorts. But sometimes it's just not so clear. Why am I getting this dating app? This dating ad right now. What have I said that sounds like Steve's available?
If I ever need to do any internet searches where I may not necessarily want to see an ad like that come back and bite me, I'll use sort of an incognito mode.
Yeah,
on my
browser, going to the incognito
just
mode,
to avoid that. You know, hey, why are you getting ads for, you know, that?
Yeah,
Thai massages.
Time. Okay, is that what you've been getting, Art?
No, I'm just saying it's available out there.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Do a search for me. Tell me where.
I can't. Not on these computers at work.
That's about all the time we have. Isaac, thanks so much for coming in and chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
So coming up next, Julian Saunders, we're going to be talking tablets, and we're going to be Microsoft tablets, to be specific, and Windows 8.1. Yes, the start button. It's back. It's back. It's back. I'm Steve Dotto.
Do you have a comment or a question for Dotto Tech? Is brought to you in part by LondonDrugs.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, our expert on all things London Drugs and gear related, Julian Saunders. Julian, how's your week going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, but we've got snow here in Saskatoon.
No way!
So winter's already started. It's time to batten down the hatches and fire up the furnace.
Do you have one of those snowblowers?
I live in a townhouse, so I don't need one, but we have guys that walk around with leaf blowers to clear off our sidewalks.
Yeah, because the snow's nice and light there. See, when we get snow here in Vancouver, it's wet and it's miserable and it's heavy.
And ours is a nice dry powdery. It almost blows away sometimes. So
there's
some to be said for a dry cold, even though it's minus 30. It's a dry cold, they say.
And block heaters. Block heaters, I think, be important. So the world is going nuts about tablets. Let's talk about the other side of the tablet game. Let's talk about Microsoft, because in the middle of all of the Apple furor, Microsoft, Apple matching up days for announcing all of their new product. But Microsoft had some new product to release, and a few things we've been waiting for in Windows 8.1.
Right. The Surface 2 is the new Microsoft hardware. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft has had the Surface out for just about a year, and on October 22nd, they released the Surface 2 and the Surface Pro 2.
So they're confusing the heck out of us again with the names, naming them similarly.
Yeah, I know the other designed in California company did something similar to us with one of the generation changes, but I think this will be the naming convention for now for Microsoft. It's so the Surface 2 replaces the Surface RT,
which was really confusing. Yep.
Yeah, and so the Surface 2 is the lower priced, thinner hardware, and it doesn't allow you to install apps from just anywhere. So if you want to put in accounting software or another web browser, you can't on the Surface 2. You have to go with the Surface Pro 2, which runs full Windows.
And so the new version of Windows is 8.1, which is going to be a significant improvement for the old Windows crowd.
Right, yeah. There's a couple of pain points that Microsoft was getting probably every few minutes from their users with Windows 8.
Every few nanoseconds.
Windows 8.1 really helps address those. I know the start screen, customizing the start screen for me was one of the first ones I was kind of taken aback with.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're free to pin anything you want to the start screen. There's a lot more variety in the sizes of icons. It's almost unlimited now.
And there is a start
button.
What a surprise. It's worked for them for over a decade, and they took it out and then gave us no place to look for it.
Well, and it's back in a form that's different, but it's back in a way that you will get used to very quickly. I know I did with Windows 8.1 with the the preview that they released. That was the big reason I downloaded it, was to see what changed with the start button. So for anybody that maybe hasn't used Windows 8 yet, there's a big screen with the candy-colored icons, and then you can go to your desktop mode, which looks like Windows 7 did, but the start button's missing. So Windows 8.1 brought it back. It's in the same place. If you click it with the left mouse button, it goes back to your start screen. So your start screen, the idea behind it is that it is your start button programs in Windows 7 were locked into a small rectangle in the bottom corner of the screen. And the new way is to take you to a full screen experience where it's all sideways and turned around. So once you think, okay, this is what I used to click on, but it's very large and it's updating with new information all the time from the internet, then that'll help the adjustment phase. Now, if you right-click on the start button, it'll take you to all the settings. And that was the one thing that I noticed from my customers. Yeah, they couldn't find out how to turn off the computer. How do I go into control panel? What do you mean I have to click 8 things to go and change my display settings to turn on a second monitor?
Yeah.
So the right-clicking to change all your settings is where all the magic is there. So playing around with it for about 5 minutes with my customers yesterday, I got all of them used to how it goes in and out of start screen back to desktop. It was a much more how Microsoft explains it to be a fluid experience, and it really helps the transition into the next generation of devices. So,
well, I think this is going to be a crucial product for Microsoft, because although they have not been trumpeting the numbers, the first version of their tablet was not really a resounding success. And they were limited, but they've fixed a lot of things in the second generation. They've tweaked the operating system to make it far more approachable. So this is going to be a watershed moment as far as the Microsoft in the tablet space. This one has to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. If they don't do well with this one, I don't know what'll happen with their computer division, but the Surface Pro 2, the high end, Surface tablet is an amazing device.
Mm-hmm.
I was pricing out for myself. I want a Haswell laptop. That's my. I started shopping for a computer for me, because my main laptop's coming up to about 3 years old. So to me, you know, it's getting to be an old dog. And the pricing on the Surface Pro 2 starts at $899. The Pro 2, you know, full operating system, USB, full USB 3 port. The new processors inside of the Surface Pro 2 are much more energy efficient. So the battery life on the Surface Pro 1 was about 3 to 4 hours. So you're constantly looking for a power check.
Yeah,
yeah, not good. The Haswell processor is 6 to 8 hours. So a lot of people are really keen on getting the Pro 2. And if you are looking for the higher end, you can get there's two higher end models starting at $1,299. With 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage.
Mm-hmm.
So for $1,299
storage.
Exactly, yeah. So there's also a 512 gig model that's a special order for $1,799, still has 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
But in stock, you can walk in and for $1,300 get a 10-inch Surface Pro 2 with, blow the door away from... for specs, so it's quite
so fast processor,
really high end.
Fast processor, super long battery life. You have to get your head past the fact that you're paying $1,300 for a tablet. You're paying $1,300 for a notebook that pretends it's a tablet, really.
Right, and if you compare it to ultrabooks, that's what I've been used to using is ultrabooks. It's actually priced right in the middle of the ultrabook space. So if you're comparing it to a laptop, that's a better comparison because it's got all the specs.
Yeah. Now you were running some numbers and you threw one at me that was pretty surprising. Is dealing with storage. All of us now use online storage a lot. I use Dropbox all the time. I have 60 gigabytes or 50 gigabytes of online storage, and well, I don't tap that out. A lot of people are tapping out their massive online storage capabilities. And Microsoft has really bundled some impressive storage in with this.
Yeah, they're giving away 200 gigs of SkyDrive storage. So that's their cloud service. And 200 gigs for 2 years comes free with any Surface 2 or Surface Pro 2 purchase. So for 200 gigs, I was trying to think, what am I going to put in 200 gigs? I could put, I have a gigantic music library. I could put nearly the whole thing in there and have that accessible to everything. Or if you're, you know, the most home users with photography, have between about, the average is about 30 to 90 gigs of photos. So imagine having your entire photo library accessible on anything. SkyDrive is available for all platforms, too. It's not just stuck on your Windows. Windows devices, it's available for Mac, iPhone, Android, even BlackBerry has a SkyDrive app. So, you're not stuck with having access on just your Windows stuff.
So to kind of put it into comparison, if you were to purchase the same amount of storage from Apple with their iCloud service or from Dropbox, how much would you be spending?
You're looking at about $10 a month for 100 gigs on Dropbox, and you can't purchase it in bulk. So you'd have to go $240 to go 2 years from Dropbox. So that's nearly half the price of a tablet when you're looking at the Surface. Yeah, just for the storage space.
Excuse me. Now, we should point out that the in 2 years, you will be purchasing a new subscription, because you do get addicted to that storage and you don't want to get rid of it. Microsoft has it priced at about $150 for 2 years additional, or is it per year additional?
That's for an additional. They actually haven't fully announced what it'll be, because what they're saying, the way they explain it right now, is say you have that 200 gigs accessible to you for 2 years and you only use 80 gigs of it, they send a price specific based on how much space you're currently using, and then it'll go up slightly from there. But the value in having the hardware, too, it's almost worth your while if they keep this promotion up to look at getting another tablet down the road to renew. So that, and that's kind of their idea, is that they want to
keep buying a tablet
every
couple of years. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then because most people do anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You find a place for all of the tablets in the home.
How long has it been since you bought your last one, Steve?
Oh, actually, I'm a little behind the times. I've still got an iPad 2, a 32 gig iPad 2, and so I'm two generations behind, maybe three now. And it's about time. It's about time. But nobody else in the family wants it. You know what? They all want. They want the fancy pants minis. So they go, no, we don't want it. So I got nobody to hand it down to. So I got to keep using it. It's a tragedy in the Dotto household right now.
Well, I think it might be time for a little intervention. Maybe we should get you into London Drugs.
and you know, now I've got, but I don't know what I want. I would love to try the Surface Pro 2, but then I might, you know, it might involve a bit of a migration. I've been living on the Mac for a while, but I would love to try it out. I think it would be an awesome tool to spend some time with.
Well, and you're a very big Gmail user, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and if the Surface Pro 2 has all of the Google apps available to it, because it's a full Windows environment.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it'd be very easy transition for you into those. And they can run a full Office suite.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be any problem with the Office and the communications work. It's the video and audio work that I would have a challenge with. But
I saw the Surface 2, even just the entry level with a Tegra processor, running a game at high settings, and it looked pretty fantastic.
Mm.
The Surface Pro 2 has a full 1080p Skype camera, and it's a true, they call it true HD audio, so it could be very good for the recording side of things. It'd be interesting to play around with that for a while and see. Because it with the high resolution 1080p screen, you get an amazing true color display. It's for how you record and being able to connect your camera directly to it. It could be the right choice. So
there we go.
It's worth checking out and playing around.
It is. It's tablet mania here in the world right now. And if you want to go check them all out side by side, place to go. Where is it, Julian?
London Drugs.
You got it, sir. Have a great day.
You too, Steve.
Stay warm, Julian.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. I've got lots of fur coats.
There we go. Julian Saunders of London Drugs. It is always good to be chatting with Mr. Julian Saunders. I have to thank Isaac Kendall for coming in. I have to thank Sean Smith and Vicky McLeod for joining us, as well as Julian Saunders. And, of course, you, Sir Art Factora, you were stellar as usual. Good to see you back and just all poutined and Montreal smoked meated out.
Yeah.
So it's time for some...
It's all poutine weight.
Time for some salad. Right?
Right. and a walk.
And a long walk. We are going to, we're going to call it a day. We will see you next Thursday for more Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.